Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team, the FAST Team. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Amy Loboda, editor of Aviation for Women magazine and FAST Team representative, Fort Myers, Florida, who is today's host.
Hello, everyone. This is Amy Loboda. I'm the editor of Aviation for Women magazine and your host here at Managing Safety. I'm reporting from Fort Myers, Florida, and my guest today is Mike Edwards. Mike is the director of business development and the program manager of CGAR, which is the Center for General Aviation Research. And you tell me, Mike, you do just about everything except sweep the floors, right?
That's about right, Amy. It's an exciting program, and we've been doing this for 10 years. And I got to say, working with general aviation people, whether they're the people we meet at Sun and Fun coming up or just those that we talk to on the flight line every day, make it exciting when you're working with CGAR. And I want to bring up one other item real quick on that, too.
Sure.
As you spelled it, it was C-G-A-R. Note there's no I in CGAR because we work as a team of four major universities that are all put together that bring you the best in general aviation research.
Tell me, which are those universities?
Those universities, and it's kind of interesting in this, if you follow the geographic spread of these universities, the importance of CGAR is that we're geographically diverse. We have the University of Alaska Fairbanks and Anchorage at our far northern end, University of North Dakota in Grand Forks, and then we have the Wichita State University, or NIAR, the National Institute for Aeronautical Research in Wichita. And then we have, on the other side, in the warm weather climate, of course, we have Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University in Daytona Beach, and also their partner university, Embry-Riddle in Prescott. So we service, as you can see, we're quite diverse. And this really works in nice because when you take a look at some of the projects that we've worked on, having the ability to be in a variety of different climates really makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, it sounds like it. You guys have been doing some terrific work for what, 5-7 years now?
We at the present time are reaching our 10th anniversary, what's going to be called celebration, or over, we're right now on a decade of doing general aviation research under a contract or under a grant that was created through a competitive bid process back in the year 2001. Is when the FAA awarded the General Aviation Center of Excellence, the research team that I just mentioned to you, and Embry-Riddle was chosen as the lead university. So we've been doing this for 10 years. And during those 10 years, Amy, you can watch the way the fleets mature, the way the pilots mature. It's quite exciting in the fact that I get a lot of questions as we go through the research or we're there at the FAA booth at Sun and Fun and also in Oshkosh. We get a lot of people coming up to me and saying, what do I do about my aging aircraft? And I take this with a somewhat humorous. The person asking me that is a pilot that's also aging almost as much as his aircraft is. And he has one love affair, or he or she has one love affair, is to keep himself flying and keep that aircraft flying. That's what, you know, some of the projects that we've been working on make it exciting. Along with our members, I must also say, over those 10 years, we have two affiliate universities that are also in this group, Florida A&M University, and then Middle Tennessee State make up the current CGAR team. So we work as a very compact team. The uniqueness about us is that when we do get research projects, that a person comes to us, unlike coming to a regular university, he comes to CGAR, he comes to our program office at Embry-Riddle. They bring a research project in, and what I do is I look across the board and see what team would be best suited to present that project so that when the project comes back to the FAA, which is our primary client, he sees it coming back from CGAR. But the power of CGAR is, In one particular project that I'll get to as we move on, we take a look at a university weather program at Embry-Riddle. They teach aeronautical weather. We see it from the University of North Dakota. And then we see the cold climate weather group up at the University of Alaska. Now, you as a pilot and me as a pilot, what do we think of? First of all, we're flying in Florida for one, hey, and it never gets cold here. But you're going to fly maybe to North Dakota, or you're going to fly maybe to Alaska and have a wonderful trip. But knowing that you have a breadth of research going on that covers all of this for pilots is what we try to do, is to emphasize safety in flight is what we're looking for as really the outcome of our research. If we can make that pilot a better person to fly because they have better knowledge and they get into alternative fuels, which extend the engine life, they get into training programs, they get into being able to monitor emissions from their aircraft inside the cabins. All of these things are going to make them a better pilot. And that's what SIGAR has been all about, is to try to make safety in flight for the general aviation person that much better.
There have been quite a few different projects. One that you guys have been actively working on for a while is the flight data monitoring, the General Aviation Safety Information Analysis and Sharing Project. Is that right?
Right. It's the SMS program. And again, I'm using acronyms, which I don't like to do, but it's a program that is now being started to bring safety management more closely to the GA population, whereas safety management has been a big item, of course, as we know, in commercial aviation. We're now starting to bring this to the forefront, so the general aviation pilot, again, will have more on his plate, and I say on their plate, to be able to take a look and say, gosh, this is great. I didn't think of this. This will make my flight that much safer. This will make my passengers who come with me all that much more comfortable. So there's going to be more in the educational roles that will be coming out through the research that we're doing in safety management systems. And in also taking a look at that, when we take a look at our SIGAR website, which, by the way, I would encourage people to go to, and it's real easy to find it. It's just simply www.cgar.org. And it's important to make sure it's cgar.org. But one of the items that we highlight there is a website right up front on our information page about New Aging General Aviation Education and Training website. And from accident reports to FAA maintenance alerts, this New Aging General Aviation Education website will provide a single stable access point to type-specific aging aircraft maintenance information. And Amy, I went on there today and I read through that website, and it was exciting, because if anybody listening to this who goes on there, they're going to have a chance to read war stories. And by war stories, it's about what happened to you in your aging aircraft or in your aging aircraft. A little bit like you read in some of the other pilot magazines where they talk about, their strange program that went on, but they share things like a blog. There's an educational series to this program. So again, we're migrating to the safety part of this for our flying public in the general aviation area. And as you and I go to Oshkosh, or not Oshkosh, but also Sun and Fun and Oshkosh as well, you see aviation from all walks of life. You see it from gliders that I would never get up in, obviously, the hang gliders and the motorized hang gliders and the other items that you wonder how they fly in the sky, but they're getting safer.
Now, we have a lot of good listeners who happen to fly those very safely these days. But you're absolutely right. It's all about safety. There's no question that some 85 to 90% of the fatalities and accidents that happen in aviation in general are happening at the general aviation level. And one of the reasons they're not happening as much at the commercial and business Part 135 level is because that safety management system has been mandated at those levels. There's no question about that. Mike, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Mike Edwards, the Director of Business Development and Program Manager of SIGAR. Thank you.
Now, let's rejoin Amy Lavoda and Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios.
Welcome back to FAA's Managing Safety. This is Amy Lavoda, your host. We are speaking with Mike Edwards. He's the Director of Business Development and the Program Manager of CGAR, which is the Center for General Aviation Research. Mike, we were talking about this aging general aviation education and training website that you can get to right off the homepage of your CGAR, that's CGAR.org website, and the research that you've been doing. I'm poking around in there and I've hit on the education link, and I'm seeing that this is something that can be education for not just pilots, but mechanics, technicians.
Yes. Yes. And the nice thing about it is supported by NIAR, one of our partners, the National Institute for Aviation Research in Wichita, and there's a lot that has gone into this website. And as one of our partners in CGAR, we post this. Again, it's one of the process, or I want to say outreach capabilities that we do, so that when people come to this website or come to me in a display or a stand at one of the shows we go to, the first thing I tell them is, we do research, and their eyes glaze over. But when you go to this website and you see things that really talk to everything that deals with general aviation, like you said, mechanical to the pilot to the war stories, and if nothing else, you go on there and you read those, and you become so much more educated that, you know, you kind of look at it and you say, gee, we'd sure like to have more of that.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at the links to the FAA documents, to airworthiness directives, to special, you know, service bulletins and advisory circulars, maintenance alerts. I mean, this is good stuff here, all in one place.
Yes. Now, taking that a bit further, you know, we talk about CGAR reaching our decade anniversary here.
Yeah.
One of the things that we pride ourselves on is being able to inform the public as well as our members about what's going on. On this website as well, we do have an information link in there, and we have other areas that talk about CGAR that go back roughly 4 or 5 years and show the various presentations that our researchers have done over the years. And those cover such very exciting things, believe it or not. One of them was bird strike. There is a whole presentation on bird strikes and the problems that bird strikes occur. And in general aviation, you know what that can do to an aircraft. As you know what it did to the one commercial airliner, that pilot did one heck of a good job bringing it in.
Yeah, he did.
But
he did.
People can take a look at that. Oh, and another one too that I, you know, as I go on here, because again, it's safety and what we're doing. Three of our universities got together on one research project called Remote Airport Lighting Systems, or called RALS, R-A-L-S. And the idea behind this is that here in Florida, as in North Dakota, as in Alaska, Montana, and remote areas, you have airports that don't have lights. And if you have an emergency, you have a hurricane, you have a tornado, whatever, airports can go down. We've developed a remote airport lighting system that's portable in nature that can be dropped in by helicopters or by whatever means, trucked in, put on an airfield to mark emergency evacuation areas. And it's something that came out of our work through CGAR.
Yeah, that is really terrific. I saw that. And those are LED-type lighting, so they really don't draw huge amounts of electricity. You could even have a generator on them, correct?
Yeah, you can have a generator, battery, and they have a new version, in which we'd like to be able to show it sun and fun, and if I get it, I will bring it over. It's solar-powered.
Wow.
So again, these are things that the research community, working together as we do as a team, put that all together. And then another one, it goes back to the educational side, and I got to get this one in, is our FITS program, our FAA Industry Training Program. Now, CGAR was formed on a competitive bid, as I said in the beginning, and when it came together as academia, and our other customer base is the FAA because they're our sponsor. But industry also gets into this as well. And FITS, which is now the FAA Industry Training Standards Program, is now called a scenario-based training program, but it set the stage for a different training program for pilots that are just coming in and pilots that are going through refresher courses. And this was developed by a lot of the, I want to say, basic aviation groups that were out there. We had input from manufacturers, from the instrumentation people, from pilots, human factors, all of this went into developing FITS training programs. And the FITS training programs carry over into what goes on in the cockpit to actually, there's a FITS training program that covers hypoxia training, and it's all scenario based. And it was another thing that came out of the cigar proposition that has been running now for 10 wonderful years. And unfortunately, come the year 2013, by congressional mandate, because our contract only goes that long, cigar will disappear.
Oh, that's a shame, considering everything that you guys have done. I mean, it's a tremendous body of research that you can find just by jumping to the cgar.org page. On the front of that page, you've got something about an annual meeting coming up. You want to talk about that a little bit, Mike?
Yes, I do. Each year, what we have done over the 10 years is, with all our different campuses, we've rotated our meetings. So our basic charter is we have one annual meeting, obviously, and then we have a semi-annual meeting. And my team meets every 2 weeks on the telephone, but the annual meeting brings together all of the researchers from all of the schools, and we have an annual program review, as we call it. This is listed for 3 days. The first day is where they have their management meetings take up the first day, and then the second day we actually have panel discussions, we have the program report outs, question and answer from people who are in attendance. And basically, over the years, we started off, believe it or not, Amy, and we said, when we went to Alaska to have this, we said, if we got 20 people, we would be happy. The first year we were doing this, we got 65. And that may not seem like a lot, but when you consider where they're all coming from and coming, because it's general aviation research, these are the people in the industry that want to know what's going on, and there's a lot of networking that goes on, a lot of synergism that comes together there. And we encourage people to come to Daytona Beach. If there's no charge for the registration, they're welcome to come in and sit for a session if they want to hear a particular topic going on. Hear the topic, get up and go, or stay for all 2 days. It's going to be what we call a decade of celebration of what goes on in general aviation research.
And wow, that's going to be when? May 24th through 26th?
Right, May 24th through 26th, and it will be at Embry-Riddle's Daytona Beach campus. And again, it's open to the public, it's open to students. Anybody who wants to know what's going on in that world of general aviation, Amy, they're welcome to come, because the more the better, because when we get the word out there, we know that, hey, maybe 2013 will bring a different surprise to us, and by some way, means, or whatever, cigar will emerge in a different venue, but cigar will continue. Because like you said, general aviation research is something that someone made a very good point about it, is general aviation is the basic economic engine that runs the country. Think about everything that goes by general aviation, the movement of items around the United States. How about international? Look at all the general aviation planes that are sold internationally. You can't put the GA research that holds up that whole industry out of the business. So maybe with this decade celebration, we'll have some surprises, and maybe we'll have some interesting items. And you know, in any event, I encourage everybody to come to it. I also encourage them, when they do come to Sun and Fun, to stop by our stand. We're going to be in the FAA safety building, and we will be there. And yes, we will be wearing our blue cigar shirts. And when you come up and you read the shirt and it says cigar, we're not smoking, we're doing research, and we'll be there.
There you go. Terrific. Mike Edwards, Director of Business Development and Program Manager of CIGAR, that's CIGAR.org. And we'll see you at the Sun and Fun 2011 show. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us here today on FAA's Managing Safety.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the FAA Production Studios, a joint effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and the FAA Safety Team. Please visit our studio website at faaproductionstudios.com to hear past programs.